Hello, everybody. Oh, my God. For those of you who just battled through the TNA pay-per-view with us, this is Eric and Kevin here to talk about, what was this one called?
Victory Road.
That's right. I almost called it Turning Point. TNA Victory Road just concluded.
It did.
It sure finished. It sure ended.
A beginning, unfortunately, too.
Exactly. Well, in an effort to keep this short, because if TNA wasn't going to put any effort or into putting drama into this pay-per-view, neither are we. Let's start at the beginning. Let's just get into it. First match on the show, Tara defended her Knockouts title against Angelina Love. Probably one of the highlights of the pay-per-view was Angelina getting into the ring. Because she likes to point at her ass, and then the cameraman walks around it, and you can see some cooch in there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I missed that by a brief moment. I did catch Madison Rayne rolling into the ring, which isn't so bad, really, either.
Yeah. Basically, as far as I'm concerned, those three can do no wrong. Match itself was okay, I guess, probably, honestly. One of the three best matches on the show.
Yeah, I kind of like the... I pulled up Powell's report here right before we hit record there. And kind of agree with the way he put it. It's just like, it was better than the last pay-per-view match, but it still wasn't anything special.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. One thing I like, I just caught this out of the corner of my eye while I was eating supper, but Tara was... on a tear, and then Angelina was trying to get out of the ring, and she called for a timeout. Like, you know what? Comparing this match to the Jenna Marosco versus Charmel match is not fair at all. But, my God, Angelina calling for a timeout, what a great heel move. These three are just awesome heels, and they're hilarious, and they sell, and I don't know. I think they're good.
It had just been put in such an that match had just been positioned in such an oddball way.
Yeah,
you know, but, like, Tara never should have won the belt at the during the fucking random ass show.
Yeah,
and her name still just shouldn't be fucking Tara. But anyway,
Tara N. Tula. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's just fucking silly. So, I mean, storyline-wise, it was kind of bad, but match-wise, it was fine.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have a pay-per-view where pretty much every belt changes hands, like, you should cut yourself off of the pass. You should see that coming and be like, no, that's not necessary. You know, like you said, don't give Tara the belt just to change it at a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Silliness.
Yeah, as you can tell, folks, we're going to be moving along very quickly here just because pay-per-view sucked. Matt Morgan beat Daniels.
Oh, my God, I am so glad I was making lasagna. I looked at the time frame of this match here. I scrolled down, and it says 10:45. I mean, the other match was really just starting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I saw Abyss. Like, I left right after Tara lost. The Angelina Love won. Whatever way you want to put that. And I got back when Abyss was walking into the ring.
Oh, nice.
So I feel kind of I can't believe that this went on for 10:45. Like, I saw the highlights at the end, like, because they kind of did a little wrap up there after the main event.
Oh, right, yeah, at the very end of the show,
Which really wasn't, at the very end of the show, which really isn't that terrible an idea. I mean, if you have some room, and you can do that, you may as well just kind of run through the highlights again real quick for everybody.
Now,
I mean, it was so unmemorable, the pay-per-view, it kind of helped to go back and rewatch it, even though I just fucking watched it.
You're right. Now, okay, since you mentioned that, what do you think of the difference between TNA's announcers narrating the highlights And the way WWE does it, they usually do it in music video form where they just splice things together. There's no context, you know. Obviously, you have the announcers calling it, but it's clips of the matches the announcers called it, as opposed to the announcers narrating it 3 hours later. I prefer WWE style, I guess, but just because of what I'm used to.
I think I like the concept better for TNA. But unfortunately, it's still Don West and Mike Tenay.
Yep. That's always going to be the sticky.
I mean, Don West is actually, there are times actually now where I say, you know what? If he kind of stayed on the right track, he'd actually sound like a good heel announcer.
Yes.
He has moments that I'm like, oh, you know, he's making a good, valid, I'm covering for the heels moments. And
yep.
Then he gets to just, like, blubbering. Like, when he's kind of... He's not good at weaseling around the facts.
He had a good one at one point tonight. I thought it was good, and I probably shouldn't, because he kind of broke character a little bit, but Foley was pinning Angle, and Angle kicked out at, like, 2 99/100s. West is like, that wasn't even close. Okay, I lied. It was as close as he hit.
Yeah.
I can't tell if you're joking around or if you're drunk off your ass, but whatever. It came off way funnier than it should have.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, I specifically remember that, so it had some, you know, lasting memory to it.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
as you said, oh, when Foley was pulling, pinning Angle, I'm like, oh, I know exactly what he's going for.
Awesome.
So...
Well, to summarize the match at hand, I mentioned this on the Pro Wrestling Torch VIP forum. I started a thread, and it lasted all of about 13 posts, because everyone cares about TNA. And I said, basically, someone asked, I can't even remember who won this match. I said, Matt Morgan won it after taking all of Christopher Daniels' how-to video offense, because I still insist that all the way he wrestles is, this is how you do a clothesline, this is how you do a moonsault. And it's like, I looked up from my bratwurst and green beans, and I was like, wow, he's hitting him with all of these moves that no one who weighs 160 pounds like he does should be doing against a 300-pound, 7-foot-tall monster. But he's just doing them out of force of habit, because he's the best independent wrestler ever. So, of course, he's just going to go through his gamut of moves like it's, you know, he just mailed it in. He just put in his day at work, and he's going to collect his paycheck. And, of course, Morgan's no better. Morgan's quite a bit worse, as a matter of fact. And as I put it to somebody, I can't remember if it was you, Dusty, or Jeremy over Messenger, but I said, Matt Morgan is bad, but Christopher Daniels is the worst, and Don West and Mike Tenay are even worse than he is. Just an embarrassing thing at the pay-per-view.
Yep, so moving on along.
Moving quite the hell along. Oh, then we get the embarrassing Abyss and Dr. Stevie and Daphne bullshit. And then they wrestle, and it's 10 minutes, and it's no disqualification because Abyss likes to put thumbtacks in himself. And then Daphne ran out with a taser at the end, but then Lauren came out and shoved Daphne around. So then Abyss got the taser. Then he stuck it in Stevie, and of course Stevie with his cartoonish selling, which is usually good, but whatever, oversold, and a bunch of smoke came out of the taser, and then Abyss won. Oh, boy. Wonderful.
Yeah, because the one thing that I really didn't understand to me...
Mm-hmm.
Was the fact it wasn't Abyss. Didn't he give Dr. Stevie the black hole slam when he still had the taser in his hand?
Yes.
And then he dropped it when he hit the slam. And I'm like, well, why don't you just stick him right now?
Right.
And then you win.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Set tool bag... He really should have won anyway, so fuck him. Let him have the fucking smoking taser.
Smoking taser, my God. I seriously was hoping that it was a taser gun, like police use to shoot people from a distance. And I was like, that'd be badass if Dr. Stevie had that and he aimed for Abyss and then hit Lauren instead, because I'd love to see Lauren try to sell that. But unfortunately, what do we get? A little tiny cattle prod like Harley Race used on Cactus Jack in 93, only this time it starts smoking upon impact. What the fuck ever. Get this shit over with. I love Stevie Richards as much as the next guy, and most of the next guys fucking love him way too much, but this is overdone.
Yeah, and I'm really... It's like I almost want to see a porn of how Abyss and Lauren, you know, work out. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only interesting thought that I ever have about that whole matchup. It's just like, they don't really fit together very well.
No.
Like, that's the interest that I sit there and get out of this angle. I just keep on thinking that to myself. Like, I try to block out all the other dumbness and keep on thinking about that.
As long as if Lauren got naked, I would be interested. That's about it.
Yeah. Her and her retarded, disgusted face that she always has on.
Yeah. I think both you and Jeremy might have mentioned that tonight. You're like, did she just make that face again? Or something like that. Somebody was like, why does Lauren
always see that? The only face she can make.
Actually, this was the exact conversation. Jeremy says, why does Lauren keep doing that? And I'm like looking at something else. I'm reading something. I'm not watching the pay-per-view at that exact moment. He says, why does Lauren always do that? And I go, did she make that face again? Like, that's her gimmick, making that face. Like, to see her make another face, but that's a different audio for a different time.
Okie dokie. On with the O face.
Oh, here, Mick Foley tried to give a pep talk to the other guys, and if I was AJ Styles and Beer Money, I would have turned around and walked out of the fucking room, because I don't give a shit what Mick Foley has to say.
Yeah, whatever. They're fucking retarded.
Unless you're going to give me tips on how to win a hot dog eating contest, Foley, I don't give a shit what you have to say.
Yeah. He's such a fucking waste of time. Like,
yeah.
You know, and just thinking about that match and how he said, and I'm just going to try and wait till the end of that. So, yeah, pep talk, and, you know, I'm just going to flip out on Foley if I even fucking talk about that thing. So.
Okay, well, let's keep going, and then if you do feel like it, then you get a chance to do it at the end of the
report. There's
here.
No reason for me to be this fired up.
No. Match number four.
Well, I am tired, but anyway.
Oh, we'll get it out of our systems by the end of the show. Number four, Team 3D beats the British Invasion. Meant nothing. I mean, this match literally meant nothing to anybody. It doesn't mean anything to me, anyway.
No, and I mean, as soon, and I think I mentioned this to Jeremy earlier today, when he was not with Sandy Vagina, that... that, you know, as soon as on Impact they said Mick Foley put a tweak on the match and the IWGP titles are up for grabs.
Yep.
And I'm just like, wow. I mean, do you want to tell... I mean, not that it wasn't obvious that Team 3D was going to win in the first place. You know, I mean, that was fucking clear as day. But, you know, like, that is just like seal it in concrete. You know Team 3D is going to win.
Yeah, of course. I mean, TNA isn't exactly they're not in charge of deciding who wins the IWGP tag team belt. And so, like, anybody with any inkling of idea that, oh, you know, this booker isn't going to make a, you know, a match where these titles are going to change hands, duh, he's got to see through that. I have nothing to say about this match. Team 3D won, and then a heel team ran in to try to get heat, and then they put them through a table too. Big fucking deal.
Yeah, no, those two honestly exist just to get the hell beaten out of them. Like, that's the only thing, and to get TV time. It's just like, okay, we need to, like, throw two people on the roster and justify why we're fucking paying them.
Yep. Oh, okay. So here, actually, this is the crux of the pay-per-view as far as I'm concerned. I should go back and watch the replay at my neighbor's house, but if I put a fucking bullet through my head if I did that. But I am sure that this happened the way I thought it happened. When Lauren ran out during the Abyss match, I don't remember exactly what she was wearing or exactly how her hair was done, but she was not wearing the same thing, and her hair was not done the same way as when we went to the back to Lauren, who's interviewing Slick Johnson, and she had a different dress on, and her hair was all made up, and she looked fucking nothing at all like she did a half an hour earlier when she ran out to the ring to help Abyss. Like, this is the fucking lack of attention to detail that TNA puts into their product. No continuity whatsoever. No drama, nothing. Fucking absolutely no effort whatsoever put into this pay-per-view. And it was obvious when stupid Lauren, of all people, is calm, fucking cool as a cucumber, calm as a prairie breeze, after she got done saving her fucking boyfriend from an attack with a taser by the doctor who just drugged him and slapped him around on TV, and then Abyss is putting thumbtacks in his arm, and then she comes running out, and she's breathless and crying, and then like 20 minutes later, perfectly fine, even went to wardrobe and changed clothes and got her hair done so she could interview fucking Slick Johnson. So anyway, that's a microcosm of this pay-per-view.
Yeah, you know, I thought something was up there, and I just didn't even think about it. You know, like, I did not fully think about it until you just went on that little spiel.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway,
no,
that,
right.
Because I did that, you totally get the Foley rant at the end of the show.
Yeah, let's see if I can keep up the energy.
Okay,
so,
well,
yeah.
Moving along quickly, then. Jenna Maraska, with Awesome Kong in her corner, defeated Charmel with Sojo Bolt in her corner. A miserable 6-minute match. Jenna rubbed her crotch in Charmel's face. Charmel tried to Irish whip Jenna at one point, and Jenna did a fucking lap around the ring before she hit the ropes. At one point, Jenna was laying on her stomach when two people were kicking her, and she just laid still. Like, no one told her to sell moves, even when she's not looking at the person giving you the move. I could go on, but Kevin, go ahead. What are your impressions of this 5-star classic? This puts RVD and Jerry Lynn to shame.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't describe it any better than you just did, really. I mean, it was just terrible. I mean, it was so bad. Like, it's just like, seriously, like, you put this here. You put this on pay-per-view, really. Like, just everything was terrible about it.
Yep.
I don't know. Did Charmel wrestle at any point?
I've seen her in the ring once or twice, but I would never say that she's wrestled.
Okay. Well, I don't know. She looked terrible, too, you know? I mean, they both looked horrendous.
Yeah.
She had, is it Jenna? Yeah, Jenna
yeah.
has a nice ass.
Yeah,
and that's about all that I learned during that match.
Yeah, yeah, and
she's still probably a skanky hoe, so you know.
I'm sure, and it's not like her legions of fans from Survivor were gonna follow her to TNA and plunk down $35 to watch her on pay per view. And if they did, they ought to be slapping themselves in the face right now because this was just an embarrassment. This is
no,
as bad
they,
as anything else.
They ought to be fucking stripped of any reproductive organs if they bought this pay-per-view just to watch her debut.
They ought to be sewn shut.
Yep. Sewn shut, snipped. I don't care what the deal is. If the tubes need to be tied, they need to be double knotted or, you know, fucking thrown a sailor's knot or something. Fuck that, man.
Get some
There's
Boy Scouts
no
to
way
earn
they
two.
Should.
You need to get some Boy Scouts to earn two merit badges at once. Their fucking knot badge and their sex ed badge all in one. Here's the tube. Check. Here's a fucking square knot. Check.
No, Timmy, I did not say balloon knot. I said square knot.
Oh, God. I did not think this was going to turn into a conversation about that. Okay. Anyway, this is about as embarrassing as it gets. So, if we should just move on to the second David versus Goliath match on this pay-per-view. Kevin Nash beats AJ Styles to win the TNA Legends title. Before this match was over, I said to Jeremy, and I knew that they were foreshadowing this, but I said, I guarantee you the Main Event Mafia walk away with all the championships that they wrestle for tonight. And, of course, Kevin Nash starts the parade by beating AJ for the Legend title. What did you think of this match?
You know, this was the only match. Did you say that after this match was when you mentioned that?
No, before the finish of the match, I
before
said that was...
Before the finish?
Yep.
Okay. Now, simply because Matt Morgan had won,
mm-hmm.
I was wondering whether they were going to keep two big guys, the Main Event Mafia.
Yes. Okay.
I thought that maybe, you know, they'll boot Kevin Nash to the side and they'll bring in Morgan so they don't have more people. So after this match was over, was when I was like, oh, okay, that's happening.
Yeah.
You know, I think it only held intrigue to me because of that. Like, that's the only thing that I said. Like, well, maybe Nash isn't going to win and he's just going to get replaced.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it was, I watched it. I know I watched the match.
But you can't tell me anything about it because it was just...
it's all this standard AJ Styles moves. And,
yeah,
you know, he doesn't do them poorly, but really he's kind of going against no movement fucking Nash.
Yeah. Yeah, too fragile to move, too scared he's going to tear something else. I'll channel this, the spirit of Jeremy Mays here. At one point he said, this is a good match. And I said, yeah, I guess. I mean, if you consider Kevin Nash hitting his elbows and knees in the corner and then standing there waiting for 10 seconds while AJ Styles does his springboard flying forearm, a good match. But then, to the credit of these two guys, and no credit to Tanay and all the credit to Don West, I mentioned this in the thread that I started on the Torch Forum, too. AJ...
It was the 10th of your 13 responses.
Yeah, exactly. AJ hits the Pele kick, and then Don West thankfully pointed out that AJ had been winning matches with the Pele kick recently. Nash kicks out, and then like 10 seconds later, hits a choke slam for the pin. It was kind of out of nowhere, but like, okay, that's supposed to be like the crux of the matchup. And AJ hits the Pele kick, and Tanay's response is, oh, the Pele. I'm like, dude. That was supposed to be the fucking point of the match right there, is that Nash kicked out of one of AJ's big moves that he's been winning matches with lately. Oh, the Pele. Like, wow. Fucking wake him up. But anyway, I mean, that was like, you know, a decent exchange in the match that was completely marred by the horrible commentary, which plagued the whole thing. Thank you, Mike Nate, douchebag.
Yeah. That hurt, but just really the combination of things that happened, too. It's just like, seriously, like, he hit that, and then, like, barely 5 seconds later, Nash ends up winning?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it came out of nowhere. It was,
yeah.
And a choke slam. I guess I can't really think of a time I've ever seen Kevin Nash use a choke slam.
Yeah, maybe that's why that looked weird, too.
Yeah, like I've seen him finish big guys with a big boot, you know, because he can't really jackknife too many huge guys. He tried that to the Giant and broke his fucking neck, but I don't know. Yeah, choke slam out of nowhere for the pin. Not the worst match on the show, but whatever.
Yep.
Let's see. As far as I'm concerned, this was the best match of the show. Scott Steiner and Booker T beat Beer Money in about 12 minutes to win the tag team titles. What do you think of this? I know Jeremy was ranting and raving about it on Messenger, but what do you think of the match? What do you think of the finish?
You know, I don't know why I didn't pay attention to this one very well, to be honest with you.
Were you doing the dishes after making your lasagna?
Oh, you know what? I was finally eating it.
Oh, okay.
Because the earlier match was me throwing it in the it, make it actually like putting it together
mm-hmm.
and throwing it in the oven, and yeah, by the time this match rolled around, I was ready to pull it out of the oven.
Gotcha. I guess it does take a while to make lasagna. Of course, everything I eat takes 3 minutes to cook in the microwave, so it's not like I know.
Yeah, no, well, I put it on too low of a heat at first, so I kind of let it cook probably a little bit longer than it needed to.
Gotcha.
And
let me ask
up
you this.
Heat.
Let me ask you this. Do you put cheese on your in your lasagna?
Yes.
What kind of cheese do you use?
Well, I used I saw some fresh mozzarella that was on sale last week, earlier this week. I used that in there, but I also used ricotta cheese with the spinach mix. And on
Oh,
top of
damn.
that too, I had because I normally am a cheese snob, and I actually like get like real Parm and real Romano cheese, and I don't usually get the canned stuff. But when I'm making something that big, I get the canned stuff because I don't really have that much money to go ahead and dump like a bunch of like Parm and Romano into a lasagna. So I actually use just canned stuff in there too.
Gotcha. My brother, and I need to find out exactly how he layers this, and I know he uses mozzarella, but he'll use cottage cheese in it too, and it's really fucking good. I have to
Oh,
find out what
yeah,
the
I mean, it's
proportion
kind of
is.
in the same family.
Yeah. It's not quite the same consistency, obviously, but it accomplishes the same thing, I think. Just a different
Yep.
taste and a different flavor. But anyway.
Yeah, now
I
that we're
will
done
check.
with Kevin's cooking corner, we can, Yeah, so I mean, I guess I kind of came in and out for this match. Like, I watched some of it. I watched the beginning, kind of watched some of the middle, and then watched the end. Oh, okay, that's what it was. Because I remember seeing them hit their finisher. I don't know if I walked away or not, because I think I missed the axe kick.
Yeah, and the ref was
Then
like wiping away all the
I
beer out of his
saw
eye.
Rude. Oh, okay. Because then I did see Rude get pinned, so I must have just. Well, maybe I just looked down at my plate to eat something.
Okay. Well, I'll
That
tell you
makes
what.
sense.
One way to summarize this match is Jeremy over MSN. He's like, "Man, fucking beer money is gonna lose, and this sucks." And I'm like, "Yep, there is." He said probably the most over act they have right now is about to lose. And I, you know what? I've never been a big fan of Beer Money. I like James Storm. I like the way he wrestles, kind of, and I like some aspects of his character. I thought he was better as kind of the drunk in America's Most Wanted, and not really the biggest fan of him driving a cooler around like Sheriff Austin. But he could wrestle his ass off. He was in there with Booker T hitting. I mean, his timing is good. His moves were good. They looked crisp. Like, I totally buy this guy now, and Robert Roode's still just your vanilla wrestler, I guess. But yeah,
Yeah.
they put on it was the best match of the show as far as I'm concerned, and of course Scott Steiner and Booker T had to win. But whatever, you gotta keep the storyline going forward, I guess. Main Event Mafia, blah blah blah.
Yeah. And that just that whole thing, it's just like seriously, like, I mean, did they ever really do that last year?
What's that?
Because didn't they mention that it's been a year since they formed the Main Event Mafia?
Yeah, they said something
They
about
mentioned that
someone.
during the match, or during, not that match, but during the pay-per-view at some point. Didn't Jeremy Borash, oh, when he went to talk to Kurt Angle backstage, didn't he say it was a year ago in Las Vegas or something like that?
Something, I seem to recall him saying something happened a year ago. That might have been it.
Okay. Well, and I just thought to myself, I'm like, seriously, like I don't, 'cause I don't even think they had them win clean out that first pay-per-view afterwards, and I'm like, seriously, like it's taken you a calendar year to do something that, you know, should have been done that first month. You know, it's just like, wow. Like, I mean, I think that's why it was so, like, I'm like, wow, you're finally getting around to this.
And
And
if
it's just
anybody
like,
wants to,
fucking A.
if anybody were to try to play devil's advocate about that, you know, they would say, well, it shows that TNA is pacing themselves and they're booking slowly. That doesn't apply here. That's not the right way to book that angle. You want your heels to be dominant right away, piss everybody off. That's the timely fashion there is get your heels to win all the belts right away. Because, as they say, the money's in the chase. Then you build up baby face opponents and you hope the people will pay to watch them on pay-per-view wrestling for the championships that the heels have. Like you said, Kevin, you don't take an entire year for your main stable to win all the belts. You do that shit right away and then hope that you can We gotta hope it's a license to print money. These guys couldn't fucking draw a dime with a stencil.
Yeah, I mean, they went from having, like, a real feud to just having, like, all these mini feuds, and, you know, bringing Joe in just made things all that more confusing. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then Taz, the midget, just comes out. Oh, fuck, is that match next?
Yeah, he was a little teapot short and stout, and he came out and fist-bumped Joe, and I was actually thinking about this. So, okay, Joe beat Sting, whatever. It was not a good match. Joe, for all of his positives and some of the negatives he has, one negative is that he was not built nor trained to wrestle somebody as unmotivated and hackneyed and fucking antiquated as Sting. Like, he was missing moves everywhere. Sting tried to climb up to the ropes at one point and then changed his mind and, like, stumbled back into the ring, and Joe had to wait. Sting couldn't decide if he wanted to hit a Stinger splash or not, and when he finally did, it took Joe like 10 minutes to walk out to the center of the ring just to get his legs swept for a Scorpion Deathlock. Like, this is the fucking stumble-fuckiest match I've seen in a long time. Like, this makes fucking Jenna Maraska look like goddamn Vern Gagne. Anyway, something I was thinking was, how many mentors is Joe going to have in TNA before he finally, like, becomes a fucking man, represents himself? He had Nash, now he's got Taz. It's like, what next?
Well, and it's so confusing, too. Why, what does, if Taz wants to fuck the world, why does he want him in the main event mafia?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good question.
You know, like, at the last pay-per-view, I asked that question. I'm like, so are they not going to use Taz as his advisor, and they're going to say that it was just Kurt Angle the whole time along? But then they fucking still went and did it. And fucking Toolbag even tweeted about himself.
I'm fucking Taz. I heard this is a great go-home show for the pay-per-view, brother. All right. Exactly. It's like, isn't the main event mafia, aren't they kind of like the establishment, or are they anti-establishment because they don't like Jarrett, who's the founder, or Foley, who's the stockholder, and they intimidate Cornette, who has no authority? Or are they the establishment because they've got all the belts, including the world title now? So, like you asked, if you're going to fuck the world, who are you going to fuck? Are you going to fuck the guys with the belts, or the guys with the ownership, or are you going to go out on your own? Anyway, that's what Taz brings to the table in TNA.
I
don't know, man.
I just kind of blacked out what you're talking about, because I just can't handle it.
Well, here, let me bring you back to life with
I'm fucking reading these stupid tweets. Samoa Joe put, sweep. Like, seriously? And Taz says, Samoa Joe's advisor looks like somebody I know. Like, you're being fucking cute.
Wow.
And then there's Jeremy is being a Sandy Vajayjay and won't be recording a review of Victory Road with Eric and I. Oh,
wait, who tweeted that? I know who he's talking about.
And then there's, really enjoyed meeting Taz for the first time tonight. He's going to be a great addition to TNA. What is he going to add? Like, he did nothing except look like his short and stumpy self.
Yep.
Bobby Lashley was backstage, so thank you very much, Jeremy Borash.
Great. So, yeah, speaking of which, they showed a video of Bobby. Oh, okay. And then the main event, Kurt Angle defeats Mick Foley in 15 unbearable minutes. Foley can't move, can't wrestle. Angle got a bad groin, can't hardly move. Foley is still using a white tube sock in 2009. I said this to, did I say this to you or Jeremy? Does this sound familiar? I said 1999, Mr. Sacco was funny because Foley was a comedy character. 2004, Mr. Sacco was funny because it was ironic and novel. 2009, people have got to be slapping themselves in the forehead asking, why the fuck does an old man putting a tube sock over his hand make a finishing move more devastating? It makes no sense. It's fucking useless. just like Foley.
But at least he. See, now this is something that I actually wanted to mention about the last match there. And it applies to this match, too. Why the fuck did two heels hulk up tonight?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Because, like, I don't understand. Like, Sting has the Scorpion Deathlock on there. And, Joe, I didn't even really see him hulk up. I just kind of saw, like, Sting let go of him for no reason. And then Mojo...
And then gritted his teeth.
Yeah, and he hulks out. It's like, what the... Like, don't... That's for the good guys! Like, that's all I... That was literally my real train of thinking when I saw that happen.
And the best part about him hulking up is that he was so strong he couldn't even lift Sting into the Muscle Buster. Oh, good job, guys. Real fucking classic match.
Yep. And then, yeah, you know, you're talking about Mr. Socko there. I suppose you actually do something that's kind of reasonably a decent idea. Instead of just kind of going at somebody and trying to get them down with the sock, you know, he gives them the leg scissors and locks it in. I'm like, okay, I suppose that, you know, that really makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because they have more power to kind of get out of the hold, you know, if they're standing, really.
Well, as much sense as that made, it's too bad it took Mick Foley like 20 minutes to put him in that body scissors. I'm like, what the fuck
well,
is he doing? It took him forever to put him in those scissors. And then I just thought he was going for Joe's choke sleeper. And then Tanay is like, he's got the mandible claw. I'm like, he does? Oh, I guess he does.
Yeah. Well, I guess I saw that the whole time. But, yeah, no, I mean, he was just effing terrible in this match.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's like, oh, I'm really going to have to put on, like, the match of my life because, you know, I'm wrestling Kurt Angle and blah, 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 or whatever. I don't know. I saw it in some interview on Friday, and I'm like, you were fucking terrible.
Yep.
You know, there was just nothing to that match. Like, just nothing got me going for it. Like, it was just like, okay, we know Angle's going to win at this point, so they tried to build up the suspense. It's like, whatever, like, he's winning. Who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
So that really didn't help either.
No, and when he tells everybody else in the main event mafia if they lose, they're fired, I didn't really hear much talk about, well, what if Angle loses? But I don't know, maybe if they did it. If they said that, I wasn't paying attention. But
no, they didn't. They just said that all the good stuff had been reversed, like, three times. Like, the fucking announcers just blew during this match. It was like they had two talking points, and they just kept on recycling them. Because, they kept on saying, oh, what if Kurt Angle loses? Oh, everything that happened earlier tonight is going to be undone. But I'm like, it's just going to be undone. It's like, why doesn't he get kicked out of the mafia then? Like, how can somebody kick him out?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well,
but,
I'll tell you what.
It's just fucking terrible.
Yeah. And then what we end up with is, the exchanges in this match were painful. Angle, I can't remember what Angle had to counter, but he countered something into an ankle lock, and it was just the sloppiest looking exchange I've ever seen. Passed out to an ankle lock. But then, like, the last thing you see after the match is everyone in the main event mafia standing there holding their hands in the air, and Tanay says something about an all-world title stable, failing to mention that Joe doesn't have a belt. But here's Taz guiding his fucking dipshit charge into whatever oblivion he's about to be in because he's the fucking only member of the mafia with no belt. Even have him grab the microphone and be like, now I'm the icon or something. I don't know, whatever. But anyway, everyone just looks like a big dipshit at the end of this pay-per-view. Kevin Nash is happy that he's holding a belt that really doesn't even exist. That fucking Booker, his buddy, his friend Booker T bought, so now he's gloating with the belt. Oh, I'm so frustrated. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I had low expectations coming into this. And they undercut them.
Oh, sad news bears.
Yeah, I mean, good God. You know, I thought at least there'd be something better match-wise at some point. Like, I really did think that maybe Foley could do something in this match to not look like a complete and utter fucking bum, but he did. And there really wasn't much that fucking Angle could do about
No. Kurt
it.
Angle might be the best wrestler of the last 10 years, but he can't carry that fucking sack of garbage to a good match.
Yeah, and plus, just all the fucking, like, when he missed that moonsault, it's like, well, what the fuck were you aiming for in the first place, dude?
Yeah, I think he was aiming for the same thing that Taro was aiming for in her match.
Oh, yeah.
But not to bring the
Just
whole
like,
thing.
yeah, if you're gonna miss it, you know, you should at least look like you were going to be relatively close and they had to
Right.
roll out of the way.
Yeah, try not to miss it by a country mile. At least shoot for a country half mile. Well, Kevin, on a scale of 0 to 100, what would you give this pay-per-view?
0 to 100?
Sure, why not? On a scale
How
of 0
many?
to 100.
Okay, well, there were 9 matches, so we have a random 10 points to give out
Okay.
for something additionally great that happened.
What if I just said on a scale of 1 to 9, what would you give this pay-per-view?
Well, I will believe you that Steiner, Booker, and Beer Money was a solid match, even though I kind of was in and out.
Okay.
So there's one. Yeah. 1 out of 9. I mean, seriously, like, you know, even that Dr. Stevie thing could have, maybe it was 2 out. Let's go 2 out of 9.
2 out of 9. Okay.
The opener was fine, you know. I mean, it wasn't horrendous. It really was more of a, and not that this isn't a persistent problem with them, because they've, I mean, how many times have we noted that a fucked up story was in play in one of these matches? But the women's title match at the beginning was fine,
Yeah,
you
if I
know.
had to, I tell you what, I'm going to give 1 to Beer Money versus Steiner and Booker. Then I'm going to give 0.5 because I got a preview of where my baby is going to come out of Angelina Love. And then I'm going to subtract 1 for the horrible Dr. Stevie, Abyss, and Lauren thing. And then I'm going to subtract 0.4 for how fucking terrible my former favorite wrestler ever, Samoa Joe, has become, and I'm assuming it's because of the lack of motivation and the terrible opponents we've been put against. So I officially give this pay-per-view 0.1 out of 9. I think that's a pretty unflappable scale right there. That's kind of hard to poke any holes in.
Kind of like Samoa Joe's stomach.
Oh, as my friend Scotto calls him, the fat Chinese Elvis. Anyway, maybe we should just wind this shit up. We've gone way over our time.
Oh, good God. I don't know when we actually started recording, but I hope that we didn't actually go damn near 45 minutes for this thing.
I hope not either, but if we did, we hope you all enjoyed our review of what was this called again? Breaking Point?
Victory fucking road.
Victory Road. God bless the United States, and I'm gonna go. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go tie a cord around my neck and nuts and David Carradine myself for putting up with this pay-per-view. So good night, and I'll see you later.
You know, grandkids, I really just can't even top that. But I'm gonna go grab myself a beer and try and forget about this fucking pay-per-view.